Good evening. Tonight we are going to continue our discussion of Lush, perhaps on our last discussions of Lush here in Shang Shul. And I want to review quickly, because we haven't done it in a few weeks, review quickly the foundations of the Malacha of Lush. And those foundations are going to be important, not just because we learned it and we want to review it, but it's going to be what we're going to build on for the applications that we're going to talk about this evening. We're going to hopefully talk about making charosas and guacamole. That's going to be the end goal. And to get there, we're going to have to review some of the basics. So basically, if the Malach of Lush is combining a solid powder and a liquid to make a dough, let's say it in simplest terms like that, we saw there was a machlokas in the Gemara in Shabbos whether the Malach of Lush is the, which stage is it? Is it the adding the water, pouring water onto the flour? Or is it once you have water and flour poured one on top of the other, the actual kneading, the K, is that the malacha? Now that's going to be very important, because the way we paskin is that me'ikar hadin, we assume it's the kneading with a K, that's the actual malacha. But we're machmir, and you'll see why I'm saying this like this, we're machmir for those opinions who hold that even just adding water is itself the malacha. So that's going to be important, as we see in a few minutes. We saw last week or a few weeks ago that you could have a situation of Lush even if you don't actually, you know, mix actively, even if something soaks together, if you have a very absorbent kind of powder and you pour liquid into it and it just sort of absorbs and becomes a thick dough, that might be Lush even without your active involvement. We also saw something very important. We saw that when you make, there are two kinds of batters or mixes or doughs that a person can make. If a person makes a thick batter, blila ava, av with an ayin, ava is thick, that would be asur d'oraisa, that would be lush d'oraisa. But if it's a liquidy, battery type of viscosity, like pancake batter or like most cakes as opposed to cookies and challahs, if it's liquidy, then it will be only midrabanan, and that will also be significant, as we will see in a few minutes. We saw last week, the end of the first week, that the malacha is taking a liquid and a solid, combining them to make some kind of dough or batter, but that's because you're making the liquid thick into this dough. If, however, you already have a dough or some other mixture and you're adding liquid to loosen it, to make it loose and more diluted and thinner, that would be mutter, and therefore we said you could add water to dough. I don't know why you have dough on Shabbos. Dough should be muktzah, because it's raw. Similarly, if you want to add oil or water to tchina to make it thinner, or if you have that oil in the peanut butter, right, the Trader Joe's peanut butter that has the oil sitting on top, you want to mix that in, that should also be okay, because it's making something thinner, and the whole point of Lush is to combine a liquid and a solid to make something thick. Yeah. Tchina paste that's already liquid, that's already has a, it's not solid, it's not powder. It's a tchina paste. You could add liquid to thin it out. Correct. That was what we spoke about in the first year. The next year we talked about something that I still am discussing with people, and that is something very important. That's the yolk crunch shaila, in terms of putting granola or crumbled Oreo cookies into yogurt, is that similar to taking flour and water and mixing it around, making some kind of paste, making a dough? That's something that I'm still talking with the lomdim about, so I'm not positive that that's definitely a question, but there's what to talk about in terms of adding granola, wheat germ, to yogurt, to cottage cheese, where you're holding stuff together with, you're holding these particles together with a semi-viscous liquid kind of medium. That's something that could be a question of Lush, but again, halacha l'maaseh, I'm still not, you'll have to follow up with me on that one. Yeah. So you're saying that we did learn that ein toch nacha tochen. Once you have something that's already been ground up, there's no issue of grinding up again. But you're saying, right? So something that's been baked, why should that not be subject to Lush?
Because
Just because it was baked already? If it's baked, why should it make it not be subject? What?
No, it's been,
it hasn't been nila. It has, right. It made, right. I don't think there's any such halacha in Masha'a Chadash.
But also, it's not
I never saw this thing. I hear you're saying that it's not the purpose to mix the granola or the wheat germ to make a paste, but I never saw in the post that it makes a difference of what your intent was. If you're doing something that's making a paste, that could be a question. Yeah.
You said before anything that gets dissolved
in the something that's, if I put in Kool-Aid mix or if I put sugar in my coffee, that's just, the Chazon Ish has the word dirty water. It's not a dough. It's just, it's not even a batter. There's thick dough, there's loose batter, and what's below that, that's not even considered anything? Dirty water. Water with Kool-Aid, water with sugar, water with, even if there's a little bit of substance there, if it's too liquidy, that's not considered leisha, there's no kneading involved.
Are you able to look at spices and salad?
I didn't get a chance to check that out, no. Thank you. I'll off again. Then we spoke about the discussion of when I take a liquid and a powder and I mix it together to make a dough. So when you have a dough, which is also to make on Shabbos, the halacha, unlike everywhere else in malachas of Shabbos, when I do something with a shinui, making a change in how I do the malacha, usually it knocks it down from an issa d'oraisa to be only an issa d'rabbanan. However, we learned last time, we learned this together, when I, in the malacha of lush, of kneading together flour and water, or things like flour and things like water, then anytime you do a shinui, it becomes mutter entirely. It's not just knocked down from asa d'oraisa to only be asa d'rabbanan, it's entirely mutter. But we'll see that that might be limited. There are going to be different kinds of shinuis, of changes that a person can make to the kneading process with a K, and we'll see one at a time. We mentioned there are four different shinuyim, four different changes that could be made in mixing flour and water to make a dough. First, the Gemara tells us that you could change the order. If normally you put in the, when you make cake, what do you put in first? What? First you pour the flour into the mixing bowl and then you add the water, right? So if that would be the case, then it would be whatever the opposite of what you normally do is. The halacha is you just change whatever the normal way of doing things is. If for that recipe, first you put in liquid, so a shini would be if you first put in solid and then liquid. Most cake recipes I'm not familiar with, the most challah recipes, first you pour in the flour, and if you pour in the liquid, that's normal. So you'd have to change that in order to make a shinui that would make it be permitted. We'll mention some other shinuis and we'll see when we could apply these different shinuis. Another shinui is how do I knead this dough as opposed to normal whipping a batter with that sort of oblong, semi-vertical, semi-horizontal scrambling motion that we do with our wrists. If I do crisscross, the Gemara suggests crisscross, crisscross. Or if I, you know, when you go to the, ever get a like a smoothie in an ice cream store? So they mix it in something, then they pour it into something else and pour it back. Or if you get a mixed drink in a bar, I know you guys, and they sort of pour it from cup to mix it. That also is not a normal way of mixing, and therefore that would also constitute a way of a shinui in terms of making dough. This again, mixing together, kneading the liquid with the powder. That would also constitute a shinui. And finally, using a different tool. Meaning, if normally you mix with a mixer, a spatula, a fork, a spoon, and you mix with your finger instead, that's a shinui, and that would constitute some kind of change that would therefore permit you to mix whatever you're mixing together. That's, I believe, what we spoke about last week. And now we're going to take this discussion one step further. We mentioned at the very beginning of today, and again a few weeks ago, that there are two stages that we could talk about, and this is where we're sort of starting for the new material, and we'll try to put it in context for those who weren't here a few weeks ago. When we talk about the stage at which a person violates the malacha of kneading with a K. There are two possible stages, as we mentioned earlier, the adding of the water, the just bringing together the marriage of the water and the flour, or is it the mixing action that I do with my wrist and my fork as I mix them together, or if I am doing it with my fist, if I'm making a challah, with my that hand motion of putting my fist into the dough. If we assume, let's talk about one shinui that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. The first shinui that I mentioned was when we change the order of the recipe. So I ask you, changing the order of the recipe is a change in which stage of the kneading process? The adding the flat water to the flour, or in how I do the kneading? Clearly in adding the water to the flour. That is correct. And therefore, that's going to be incredibly significant because that is the only one, that is the only shinui that applies to the moment of adding the water. Remember, we said there are two significant moments that might be significant in this malacha of Lisha, either the adding of the water or the actual kneading. Well, where, and by the way, whatever the malacha is, that's, if you want to make it mutter, you have to do it with a shinui. When do you do that shinui? Whenever you're doing the malacha, do that malacha with a shinui. And that's going to make it mutter. Well, when is the malacha being done? If you assume it's adding the water to the flour, so when is the shinui, when is the malacha happening, and therefore when is the shinui going to have to be? The malacha is happening as the water is being added to the flour. So when is the shinui going to have to be? As you add the water to the flour. So what will your shinui be? You'll switch around. You put the flour, you put the water first, and then the flour. The oil first, then the flour. That would be the shinui. Now, why is that important? Because if we want to... Let's pause there. Let's hold that for a second. All the other shinuis that we mentioned in terms of doing things using my finger instead of a tool, mixing it with a crisscross instead of a scrambling motion, and what was the other one? There's one more shinui in terms of doing it. Instead of doing it strongly, instead of mixing it strongly, kneading it strongly, to knead it very slowly and delicately. All those shinuyim are all shinuyim in the way you actually knead the dough together, not in how you add the water to the liquid. And now I want to come to the main point that I'm going to say about this. When we have this first shinui, which we'll talk about now for 1 minute, of adding water to flour, the Gemara tells us that this shinui is only going to work for belila raka, for a diluted batter, and not for a belila ava, not for a thick dough. I want to ask you why you think that would be. Again, the Gemara says that which we say that if you change the order, that makes it mutter, that shinui is considered a shinui, that shinui only works to make your dough that you're making mutter, if it's a batter, a loose batter, not a thick dough. What do you think the rationale for that would, could, or should be? What do you say? Oh, exactly. When you're making a loose batter, that's only kneading with a K, d'rabanan. And therefore, we're saying that it only works. This little bit of just changing, are you really doing anything different? If the recipe says combine X, Y, and Z, and you combine Y, Z, and X, or X, Z, and Y, you just put it together. There's no real significance between A, B, or B, A. You end up with the same, you're not doing anything really differently. As opposed to, if you knead in a different kind, the manner in which you're kneading is really different, I could see you did the malach in a different way. But if you're combining A and B, you just combined B and A, you did really the same thing. It's not such a big shinui, and therefore, since it's not such a shinui, it will only work for something that at worst would be an issur d'rabbanan. Something where if the whole dough making process is only an issur d'rabbanan, so then you did a shinui. But if we'd be talking about making dough d'oraisa, blila ava, thick dough, that wouldn't be sufficient. So we're limiting this shini of changing the order only to a blila rak, which is drabanan, and not to a blila, a mixture that would be a mixture of daraisa. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm trying to think of a good example. What's a kind of mixture, if let's say a powder and a liquid, that sometimes you put the powder first, then the liquid, sometimes the liquid, then the powder? Kool-Aid. Let's say Kool-Aid, but that's too liquidy. What about these like protein drinks that are a little thicker? I don't know. You know those protein drinks? This is like a thick powder. It's still a sort of a liquid, but it's more like a smoothie than just, watery consistency. So what do you put in first? First you put in the water, then you put in the powder? What? Powder first. Ah, that's exactly what I wanted. Different people do different things. It's not clear what you do. So if it's not clear what you do, so how do you do the opposite of something that you don't even know what the normal way to do it is? So if you don't... What? So do you just assume that it's weird for me? What happens if sometimes I add... I don't know if that's enough. It has to be something that's different from it. It's not the normal way to do it. So let's say I have something that I just don't know how to do it. So that's actually a good question, because that also comes up when you come to cereal, baby cereal. Baby cereal, which is a classic case, or, when we make oatmeal packets, I think most people pour the oatmeal packet in, then add the hot water. But baby cereal, I think also most people probably add the baby cereal, put the baby cereal in a bowl and then add water. But this Reb Moshe Feinstein was asked regarding this question, that could you change the order of the baby cereal and thereby permit making baby cereal on Shabbos? Because otherwise, making baby cereal would be kneading. You're taking a fat powder, you're taking a water, you're making some kind of mush, gook, viscous stuff, for lack of a better word. So are you allowed to make that on Shabbos if you do the shinui of changing the order? So let's start. Is there a normal order? Well, what does it say on the side of the Gerber's boxes? Let's assume we put flour in the oatmeal, the rice. What? It says what to do, but I don't think it's not rocket science. Flour plus water mix. Perhaps one could argue that. Some Pesukim do say that. So let's assume that most people make their baby powder, their baby cereal. They pour in some rice cereal or oatmeal cereal, chopped up oatmeal, and then they put in the water. And then they mix it. So how would I change, how would I make it the opposite? First I put in some water, and then I'd pour the baby cereal on top of that. So that's a shinui, and that should permit the malacha of lisha. And I just figured out a way to permit the making of baby cereal on Shabbos. What's the one issue, based on what we just said a moment ago, that could arise? What? Right. Is it thick or thin? If we say that it's very thin, well, that's great, because this shinui, this change of normal way of operating, makes it mutter if you're doing something that's a blila raka, that's a diluted, thin kind of consistency. If, however, I make my baby likes his oatmeal or his rice cereal thick, so what happens when I change the order? Absolutely nothing, because once I'm talking about thick cereal, then it's a blila ava, it's a thick dough-like, as opposed to batter-like consistency. That's going to be also midaraisa. And changing the order will not suffice. So therefore, when a person would make their cereal on Shabbos, what would be necessary? It would be necessary to make it thin, watery, not of thick consistency. And then they would change the order. That's where Reb Moshe Feinstein would say, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth in a moment. Okay. It's interesting, by the way, because the poskim say that if you really don't know, people just do things in different ways, you really don't know what's normal, then you could assume that the normal way is first putting in liquid and then putting in the flour. And therefore, you could do a shinui, and the change would be by first putting in the flour and then putting in the water. That's what the poskim say. If you really don't know what the normal way to put in first, put in flour first, then water, and that's probably the unusual way. That's what the poskim say. Yes? You're three quarters right. Blila Raka works for Blila Raka. We're going to get there in a minute. We're going to talk about it more in a moment. I don't know if it's going to answer your question. Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about in a second. If you could do a shinui in both stages, and maybe that will help. And keep it thick. That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. That's not going to be correct. It's not going to work, and we'll see why in the next these next points right now. Any questions until now? Okay. Now we're going to get to the meat. For the next 3 minutes, is going to be the meat, and this is going to be we're going to need our thinking caps for this. So everybody, put your yarmulkes on and screw it on tight. Okay. I guess it works better in shear. Now. I just said, as you pointed out, that we have four different types of shinuim that I could do to my lisha, to my kneading water and flour to make dough. First one was changing the order, and then we had three others in terms of doing it not so vigorously and doing it with a crisscross as opposed to a scramble and doing it with my finger instead of a fork. So those are the four that we have. Now, when we talk about something that's a batter, how many of those work to be a change, to be a qualified shinui that will make it mutter? The answer is all four. When you make, there's a point that you raised, when you make a blila raka, you're doing something that's a thin consistency, that's diluted, that's watery, then any one of these four changes of how you're making this mixture will make it mutter. So therefore, if I have, what's an example of a very thin consistency kind of mixture that I might make on Shabbos? A dressing, right. So dress, that way we have to talk about the oil with the spices a little. But that's two liquids. That's not going to be lush. Mayo and ketchup, that's more complicated, but I would say that's probably also two liquids. We talked about last week, I didn't review it today, but combining two different viscosities of liquid. That's the machlokas. The Shmuel Shalos Kilchasa says you shouldn't, but Rav Moshe Feinstein permits. So let's take that example that we were just giving. Let's say you have the oatmeal or the rice cereal, you're going to make it very thin. You put a lot of water in it, my kid will hate it, but it's Shabbos, I'll have to deal. And we get the oneg, the babies don't get so much oneg on Shabbos. And I'll make a very thin batter, so it's going to be a blila raka. Now, how could I do that blila raka, that thin diluted batter? I could do it on Shabbos as long as I either change the order, or I mix it very lightly, not vigorously, or I mix it with my finger and not a fork or spoon. Or the fourth one was crisscross instead of the normal scrambling motion. Those should all work when I make my very diluted baby cereal. Terrific. Now, wait a second. Do you remember we talked about 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, the two stages? One stage is when you mix the water, when the water comes in contact with the flour, and the second stage is when you actually do the kneading. We said that most poskim assume that the main malacha of lisha is the moment that you actually do the kneading. But there's one opinion, the Sefer HaTshuva, that we're machmir for, who also says the time that you just add the water. So if we want to be frum, what do we have to do? We have to do a shinui in each of those steps. We're going to do a shinui Most poskim will say you have to do a shirin how you do the kneading. And the Sefer Chum will say, no, that's not the moment of leisha. That's not the moment when the malacha is violated. The moment that the malacha is violated is when you add the water to the flour. That's where you have to do it. That's when the malacha is violated. And that's why that's when you have to do the shinui, when you're doing, when you're violating the malacha. So now let's think for a second. What is the only shinui that you can do? What is the only shinui that is applicable to that first moment of combining the water with the flour? There's only one of the four shinuis talks about how you combine the water with the flour. And what's that shinui? Changing the order. And we just said changing the order does or does not work for a thick dough, for a bli la'ava. It does not work. That means that there is no way in the world to make a bli la'ava on Shabbos. Because what are you doing? If we assume that you want to make a change both in the kneading stage, the second kneading stage, and in the first stage when you're just adding the water, and that first stage of adding the water, the only change that there is the only change that there is by switching the order around, and we just said that that change of switching the order around only applies to bli la'raka, to diluted watery consistencies. That means if I have a thick consistency, a bli la'ava, there is no possible change that I could make in the adding of the water to the flour to the water. There's no change that could be made, because the only change that exists in that stage of the process is changing the order. And we said changing of the order doesn't work by bli la'ava, by thick consistency. Therefore, I will never in my life have a way to make a shinui in the adding of the water and the flour together for something that it is bli la'ava. And therefore, if I want to be machmir, which the Shulchan Aruch suggests that I am, if I want to be machmir, to try to make a shinui not just when I'm kneading, but also when I'm adding the water to the flour, and there is no change that I can make by bli la'avas, by thick consistencies, by the combining the water and the flour, it ends up that I can never, ever, ever make anything of thick consistency on Shabbos. Because again, if I want to always, I definitely have to make a change in the majority of the poskim assume that the main point of violating the malach is when I'm kneading, so I'd have to make a change in that. Okay, I could do that. Always. In bli la'ava and bli la'raka, thick and thin consistencies. But the first stage, some poskim say, the Sefer Chumash says, that even in that first stage when I'm combining the water and the flour, that's the moment of malach, and that's the moment you have to change. But what's the change that you're going to make? Switching the order around? Switching the order around does not work by bli la'ava, by thick consistency. And therefore it's going to come out that you can never make a thick consistency mixture on Shabbos, because you're not able to make a change, something that is significant halachically that will permit lush in that first stage of adding water to the flour, the flour to the water, because that change doesn't count as a change for bli la'ava, which is daraisa. And therefore just changing the order will not be sufficient. Yes.
Maybe I'm missing something, but when you pour something into, so let's say, the flour, right, it's not really a mixture yet at all.
That is correct. Nevertheless, one of the Tanaim, I think Rebbe, one of the Tanaim says that you just violated the malacha of Lisha on Shabbos. Period. Without even going further. Even without kneading it together. He holds that was the malacha. The malacha of Lisha, when you learned Lush and whatever grade you learned the 39 malachas, and they said kneading, that was a wrong translation. It's really pouring the water onto the flour.
But it would be physically impossible to create a mixture anyways.
Who said that the malacha is creating a mixture? The malacha, according to this opinion, is pouring the water onto the flour, or the flour onto the water. That's the malacha of Lisha. That's a good question. How do you determine based on just the mixing water onto flour, whether it will be avarak if you didn't yet mix it, and you don't know what's going to end up? I don't know the answer to that. It could be that whatever will end up being after you do mix it, which is not lisha, but after you do end up mixing it, if the water and the flour that you combined was what will become a thick mixture of lila ava, that will have been an isidaraisa. Okay? Any other questions about this point? It's a little bit of a subtle point. Now we come very, very, very halacha lemaisa. This exact point was discussed regarding making charoses on Pesach. Forget if Pesach falls out on Shabbos like this year. Right, this year Pesach fell out on Friday night. Forget about Shabbos. Even Yontif, I think, will have this question. No, I'm sorry. When we talk about Yontif might be different, but let's say this year Friday night was the first Seder, and oh my gosh, there are three more guests that are coming. I have to make more charoses, or I didn't realize that I had to make charoses before Yontif, before Shabbos. Now I want to make charoses on Shabbos, so I have my ground up apples. I ground it up beforehand. Fine, I have ground apples, and I have my ground up nuts. Those are all ground up, and I want to add these ground up nuts to the wine, or the wine to the ground up nuts. That's making charoses. Now, what do you have? You have a flour, a powder. You have a liquid, the wine. You're mixing them together. That is lush. That is making a dough of sort. It's a funny kind of dough. It's not a dough that you're going to bake into a cake, but it's a dough. It's a batter, and that's going to be lush. I want to do it on Shabbos. This past Pesach first Seder Friday night, can I do that on Shabbos? So let's think. If I make it a thick consistency, what would I need to do? I'd have to, let's talk about whenever I do lush. What do I have to be worried about? I have to make a change. If I want to make lush mutter, I have to do a shinui with it. So how do I do, which point do I have to do a shinui? Well, all the poskim agree I have to do a shinui with the how I need. And one of the poskim that we try to be machmir for says I also have to do a shinui how I combine. Charoses is supposed to be thick. The poskim say charoses is supposed to be thick. Charoses is supposed to be thick, 100%. That's why it's going to be a shaila. That's exactly why we're going to talk about it right this second, because of that. Since charoses is supposed to be thick, when I add that wine to this apple mush and almond or crushed walnuts that I'm going to add it to, so we want to have a thick mixture, right? It's supposed to be like the cement, right, that they built the pyramids with. So if it's going to be like cement, it has to be thick. It's supposed to come rule. So what shinui will I do? Fine, I'll mix it. I'll do. If we assume that the moment of the malacha is when I do the kneading, so I will mix it in a funny way. I'll mix it with my finger instead of a spoon. My mother will send her out of the kitchen, and I'll tell Mom, I'm taking care of it. You go sit in the kitchen. So I'll use my finger. Then I'll do it softly. I'll mix softly, not vigorously. And I'll use a shinui. What's the third shinui? I will crisscross instead of scrambling it. Great. Fine. So I took care of those poskim who assume that the moment of the malacha is the kneading. And I did a shinui at that moment. But if we assume, like that other sheet of the Sefer HaTruma, that the moment of Lisha is when I combine the wine with this ground up walnuts, and at that moment when I combine the ground up walnuts with the wine, it's going to be I'm trying to make a thick mixture. That's a blila ava. If it's a blila ava thick mixture, does changing the order count? Does changing the order work? No, because changing the order, as we mentioned, is only a little bit of a change. It's not so significant. It's just ABBA. And since it's not so significant, it's not going to work by a blila of a thick consistency, which is also daraisa. And therefore, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, he passes in Shalos in Igros Moshe, I will not be able to satisfy that requirement of making a change in the mixture, in pouring the wine into the ground-up walnuts. There's no possible change that I could do there. Because the only change I could do is changing the order, and changing the order simply is not sufficient a change for blila ava, for a mixture that's a daraisa mixture. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, one cannot make thick charoses on Shabbos. This past year, if you didn't make enough charoses before Shabbos, before the Seder, you would have been stuck with a very watery, diluted charoses. What a shame. And you wouldn't even been yotze, you know, that wouldn't even be a proper charoses according to the halachas of charoses. Obviously, you have no choice. You're going to have to do that because you can't break Shabbos just because you want to have a nice charoses. So you'd end up, if you wouldn't have it prepared before, you'd end up with a watery, diluted charoses. Because why is that okay? Because if it's watery, diluted, it's a blila rock, it's only also drabanan, then we will rely for that issue that's only drabanan anyway, we will rely on just changing the order. You'd pour in a lot of wine into a bowl. Then you put in a little bit of crushed up walnuts, crushed up almonds, crushed nuts into that. So you did a change in the order because you added them first the wine and then the nuts, which is weird. And then you'll also do a change in how you mix it. And since it's b'lila raka, a thin diluted consistency, we'll permit you to have made that change of the order. That's what Moshe says about making charetzos. Yeah. You're asking a great question. You're asking, when you pour a little bit, it's thick. And then, yeah, as you keep on pouring the water, which way are you saying?
Yeah.
If you pour, let's say first I put in the powder, and then I pour in a little bit of liquid, at that point it's thick, and then I just keep on, now, okay, I'm going to add a lot more liquid, it'll become thinner. But that first moment, it was thick. The post can ask you a question. I don't remember how to answer it. It's a very good question. You use what? Use almond paste.
Would the apple
be considered if there's juice in it? You're adding wine.
Right, but I'm saying, is that considered like wash in that case?
What and what? You're asking,
apples,
will the crushed apples and wine be a problem? Crushed apples and wine. Does it join? Is anything paste? Is anything held together? I think it's one of the nuts that holds something. There's nothing. It'll just be a suspension of crushed apples and wine. It won't be. I don't know if it'll be. Yeah, it'll be like clumpy applesauce, right? So if you add some kind of like date spread. For the Sephardi within us, and you're adding date spread. Well, if you had a date spread to the apples, let's say you just have like shredded apples and a date spread, would that be lisha?
If they're dry apples, yes, but if there's juice in it, is it not considered? Because it's already,
and
it's
when
juice is almost considered.
No, I don't think that would change anything.
I'm
not sure. The main issue that I'm talking about, I assume, is the nuts and the liquid. That's really where you have like a powder and a, you know, that's the classical issue. Okay, we're going to finish with a kula. The kula that we're going to have, well, let's just say the chumra that we just said. The chumra that we just said is that in order for me to do a lush on Shabbos, I have to do a shinui. And we don't know which point is lush, and therefore we have to do a shinui at both moments. The problem is that for when I make a thick liquid, when I make a thick dough, a blila ava, if it's a blila ava, only the shinui in kneading work, and no shinui in the adding of the liquid, that first moment of the adding of the liquid to the powder that can be done, because we don't allow that small shinui of just changing the order for a blila ava for a thick liquid, for a thick batter. And therefore, I'm never going to be able to make, because I want to be machmir, like that opinion of the Sefer HaTrum, who says that even the first moment of adding the mixture is considered making the batter, the lisha, and I'm not able, and I, therefore I should make a change in that moment, and I'm not able to make a change there because the only change that exists in that stage is changing the order, and changing the order doesn't work for a thick batter. So we're coming out with the chumrah that you can never make thick mixtures on Shabbos, except the following. I told you that we really do know which is the main moment of making a violating lisha. I said we do know how the majority of the poskim assume. It's just that one opinion that we're machmir for who says something different. What do we know is the real halacha? What's the bottom line halacha? If you put a gun against my head and say, Rabbi Orlian, which is the moment of making, of doing, of violating lisha? Is it the adding of the liquid or is it the kneading? Well, I say, yes, it's the kneading with the K. It's the kneading. Okay, we're machmir for something else, but bottom line halacha is that the moment of the kneading is the moment when lisha occurs, and therefore bottom line halacha is when does a person have to do the shinui to make it permitted? When they're doing the act of kneading. Now, if that's true, what happens if I'm in a really big bind? Or there are other things happening, there are other issues in the equation, and I need, for whatever reason, to rely on bottom line halacha. And I'll give you an example or two in a minute. So what will I assume? that when will I require the shinui to happen? As I'm doing the nida. And if that's the case, will that work by a blila ava? Can I make changes in the kneading for a thick consistency? 100%. The only thing that I couldn't do for thick consistency was changing the order of mixing the of adding the water with the powder in the first place. But in terms of the kneading itself, I can, whether it's a thin consistency or a thick consistency, I can make any of the changes that I want, any of the three changes that apply to the kneading, that being, you know, my finger instead of the kli and crisscross instead of scrambling, and the third one, doing it softer, not vigorously, thank you. At some point I'll get it. So I should be able to do thick batters if I'm going to, again, if we're not going to be machmir for this opinion, who says, oh, maybe the lisha is that first moment of combining the two for the very first moment. And there I have limitations because switching the order doesn't work for blila ava. If we're not going to be machmir, what's the case that we're not going to be machmir for this stringent opinion? We're just going to follow baseline halacha. I'll tell you what. For a child's food. A kid who needs food to eat, not so much food that they could eat. They can't chew, so I can't give them a piece of chicken. They can't just drink milk for 25 hours of Shabbos, so I have to give them some solid kind of stuff, but they don't have teeth to chew. So what am I going to give him? Rice cereal, baby cereal. So we're going to be a little more lenient for this baby, says the Chazon Ish, and says Rav Moshe Feinstein. We're going to be a little more lenient for this baby, and I'm only going to rely on what is the real bottom line halacha. What's the real bottom line halacha? That lisha only occurs during the kneading. So as long as I make a change during the kneading, that should be sufficient for a baby. Oh, but what do you mean? You didn't necessarily, if it's a thick, let's say it's a thick mixture, but you didn't make any change when you added the two together. You're right, I didn't. But that, assuming that you have to make a change at that moment of adding the liquid with the solid in the first moment, is only because you assume that might be the moment of lisha, and therefore make a change in that, make a shuni in that moment. But bottom line halacha is that's not what we assume in terms of the bottom line, what the real halacha is. The real halacha, that's just a stringent chumrah. So maybe that's also a moment when the lisha occurs. But bottom line halacha, the majority of the posts can assume that no, lisha occurs only during the kneading. So therefore, when we're going to rely, like for a baby, on just telling me the bottom line, no chumrah is rabbi, just, you know, what's the bottom line, rabbi? I'll say, for a baby, we're going to look for what will be a little more lenient. We'll follow the bottom line halacha. The bottom line is that the lisha is the moment of the kneading with a K, and therefore, if you want to make it mutter, you only have to make a change in the moment of the kneading. And therefore, the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein both say that when I'm making food for a baby, I only have to make a change in the kneading and not necessarily the order, which is not, by the way, what I said last week. So, just wanted to make that clear. Yeah. Blila Ava is Daraita, yes. It becomes mutter entirely. That's why lush is different than all the other malachas. Normally in all the other malachas, the 38 other malachas, 37, whatever it is, 36 other malachas, 37 other malachas, you do something b'shinui, so knocks it down from Daraita to Drabanan. But with lisha, if you make a change, it becomes mutter entirely, rabbinically, daraisadically, everythingly. Well, shini makes it mutter. It happens to be, for a baby, there's a different issue that in terms of being machmir, for which moment is the lisha happening such that I have to do a shini at that moment, we're going to follow just the bottom line halacha, what is the moment I have to do that shini, and I'm not going to be machmir for another point in time to do a shini there also. Not for baby, I'm going to do a shinui when I'm needing it, because that is the real halacha. And we're going to be machmir and also do a shinui when we add the water together. Yeah. But for baby, we're not going to be machmir for this sefer chum. Correct. Correct. I did not see this leniency for cholish and basakana. I don't know why. I mean, you're saying, let's say somebody who could only, let's say you just had your tonsils taken out, you just had a wisdom teeth removed, all you could eat is mush. Right? You can't chew chicken, so it's like a baby. So maybe we should also be able to make you you know, we should be able to make you like oatmeal. I didn't see the poskim say that. You might be right, but I didn't see the chum say that. The poskim say that. In general, by the way, I hear your argument. I'd love to, if you send me an email, maybe I could follow up to see if the poskim would be lenient for a chola if they'd also only follow the bottom line and allow a blila ava, even though there was no change in the order. I could be. I hear that. I'll tell you another case where we would not be machmir for the extra moment of adding the water, but we just follow the bottom line halacha. Let's say you have a maid, and she's the one, or a babysitter, who takes care of the baby. So, for example, we had this shiloh this past week. My little baby needs to get this cream. He has a little eczema, so he has to get creamed twice a day. So we gave him a bath on Friday afternoon, and we put the cream on him, and now he's supposed to have cream on Shabbos morning. Now, to smooth cream all over him is going to be a malacha of memachek, memareach, that we learned a few months ago. So how are we going to get this cream on him? So if it's a diaper area, that's easy, because you just sort of don't smooth it. You just put out down a blob, you know, on the baby's bottom, and then you put the diaper on, and as they wiggle around, it gets smushed all around. But this is, we have to rub this cream into his skin all over. So how are we going to do that on Shabbos? The answer is, Baruch Hashem, our babysitter lives around the corner. And we said, you know, Fula, Musadakos, she's Greek, do you mind coming on Saturday morning, even though you don't work on Saturday, right? She doesn't work on Saturdays, double, triple pay. And could you come and cream the baby, which she did. So she put the cream on him, and that's mutter, because a kid is always has a halacha. You're always allowed to ask a guy to do malacha for a child who needs it. And that's what we did. So let's say, let's not talk about smoothing cream on, let's talk about, I have a babysitter or a maid who's working on Shabbos, and I asked the maid, could you please make the baby oatmeal? What do you mean? Wait a second. I'm sorry. Let's not talk about a baby. Let's say I just ask a guy in general. Forget about baby. Baby, cross out baby. Let's say I have a maid, and I say, maid, Mary Christopher Chris... Krista something or other. Mary Christina. Could you please make me some oatmeal mush? I don't know why I want oatmeal mush. I'm not going to ask her to cook chas v'shalom. If I asked her to make, you know, to use hot water, boiling water on the oatmeal, that would be cooking. I wouldn't even be allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So I'm saying I want her to just take some cold water and mix it together with some oatmeal for me, and I like my oatmeal cold. So who's doing the malacha? A guy. So it's Amir Lenachu, which is only, it's not me doing malacha, it's me asking a guy to do malacha, which is Asr, but only Asr Drabanan. Now once it's only Asr Drabanan, do you think we hold this guy to a level that we expect them to be machmir for chumras also? Okay, if I say guy or non-Jewish person, please do something prohibited for me, so what am I going to hold them that they can't do? They can't do something that's prohibited from the bottom line. But something that's a chumrah, something that's like an extra, you know, just we want to be machmir just because it's that one other opinion, I could ask a guy to do that. So therefore, what's the halacha? You can't, we want to have the water added to oatmeal, for me, not for baby, water added to oatmeal on Shabbos. So, the guy will do a machinui when they mix it around. They'll mix it, she'll stick her finger in it, and she'll do it in a crisscross motion, and she'll do it softly, not vigorously. I got all three. But wait a second. I thought if she's making me a thick oatmeal, there's no change, there's no shinui that she could do in the combination of the water combining with the oats. You know what? That's only chumrah anyway. She's not Jewish. I'm not going to make her be machmir. So that's a second situation. Again, when are we not going to be machmir to require also a change in that moment of combining the water and the flour in the first place, either for a baby or if you're asking a guy to do it for you? That's the second scenario. There was going to be one other, yeah?
The maid poured the milk, and then you did the
If it would be a blila ava, I'm not sure. I have to just process that. So I'll leave it after that because I don't want to take the time to process right now. We'll finish off with this. There's one other scenario where I'm allowed to rely on the bottom line halacha and only have a shinui during the moment of the actual kneading and not in the combining of the water with the flour. And that is, let's say, I'm trying to think of a good food that this would apply to. Let's say you want to make a thick mixture of something that the flavor will dissipate. Oatmeal. You know, I guess it tastes like oatmeal. Maybe oatmeal. Let's say you want to make something like with an onion. You want to have like this onion mush combined with, I don't know. Are there any salad dressings that have like spices and what liquid? If that is Lisha, what's an example? What? Oh, great. Okay, yeah. So you have an onion dip. So you have this like powder, and you have to add oil to it, or oil with water to it, or something like that. And onion dip from yesterday is going to be horrid. Let's assume. You can't keep that. You can't keep onion dip. You have to serve it fresh. You'll eat it. If it's after a week, the top crusts. You know what I mean? That crusting on top, it's not pleasant. We don't want to go there. So you can't make onion dip a day, you know, Erev Shabbos for your lunch. So that's also a situation where Chazal is going to say, oh, I'm going to make you, if you make it yesterday, it's going to be hard. You wouldn't even serve it. So what's the only option? To make it today. But you can't make it today because let's say it's viscous. Let's say it's very thick. I don't know if an onion, let's say it's a really thick onion dip. So then I'll be able to make a shinui for the kneading, moment of kneading with a K, but there's no, if it's a thick, viscous consistency, and there's no shinui that will work for the moment of combining the onion powder with the oil or whatever the liquid is. Because you're not, for blila ava, for thick consistencies, you're not allowed to make it. The shinui doesn't suffice. So in such a situation, where the food, if I made it Erev Shabbos, wouldn't have the good flavor on Shabbos, the Rabbanim said, you know what? We will not hold you to be machmir for this, you know, extra chumrah of the Sefer HaTruma, who also requires a shinui in the combining of the liquid and the solid. We will rely on the bottom line halacha, baseline halacha. The majority of the poskim assume that the moment of lisha is the kneading, so you only have to make a shinui in the kneading, and therefore, as long as you make your onion dip with a, as long as you mix your onion dip with a finger instead of a spoon, and you do it softly instead of vigorously, and you do crisscross instead of scrambling it, it will be mutter to make a thick, viscous, blila ava onion dip on Shabbos afternoon. Even though you did not make any change in the order that you mix the liquid with the solid. Those are the three scenarios where the Chachamim said you can make a thick mixture, even though you're only going to be able to make a change in the moment of kneading and not a change in the moment of adding the liquid with the solid. Because these are all scenarios. The first one is either for a baby. The second one is when the guy is doing the entire malacha. He doesn't have to be machmir. And thirdly, if it's food that can't be prepared before Shabbos, we are not going to hold you to this chumrah of also making a change at the moment of combination. Yeah. Question. So that's what I would think. I would think you only need to use one shinui, not all three, like I've been saying. But I'm not sure. So maybe it's better. Each one is a little bit complicated. If a person can use all three, that would probably be ideal, but I have to check if one shinui is sufficient, or maybe it's better to do multiple shinui. I'm not sure. Thank you. Great question. You're saying, what do you mean? But charos is also a tzorech mitzvah. So why are the rabbanim being machmir on me not to make charosos, you know, the proper way? Shouldn't we just, if we want to do charosos properly, just be use bottom line halacha? Charosos is a machlokas, whether it's a mitzvah. The Gemara has a lashon that it might be like charosos mitzvah, like those words actually. But it's certainly, you know, charosos. The Mishnah is talking about charosos. It's one of the oldest recipes in the world. So the answer is they didn't. The answer is that, I guess, it's interesting, because if you think about it really, you know what I'm saying? That when it comes to being lenient in Hilchos Shabbos, if it's for a halachic reason that you want to be lenient, meaning to be machmir in Hilchos Charoses, we're not going to let you be lenient in Hilchos Shabbos. To take care of a baby, we'll be lenient in Hilchos Shabbos. To take care of your food, that it should taste good, we'll be lenient in Hilchos Shabbos. But to be machmir in another halacha at the expense of this halacha, the halacha of Shabbos, we're not going to. That's what comes out. Yeah, being machmir for the proper way to make charoses as a thick mixture. You'll just have to make very loose charoses, which is not the proper way to make charoses. Yeah. No, you don't have to forgo the onion dip. You don't have to forgo the onion dip.
Because, like, if we're not even being lenient for charoses, which, like, might be a mitzvah, then how could we be lenient for the onion dip?
I'll tell you something funny. You're raising a good point. Why are we being so lenient for onion dips, but for charoses, which is a mitzvah, we're not going to be lenient? I'll tell you something interesting. There's a big machlokas that we haven't learned, and that was the first year that I gave here, probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. This is a good full circle. It was Bishul on Shabbos. I was a gigantic machlokas in the very beginning of Bishul of when you have to have a blech, something, only food that's already cooked, or could you leave even uncooked food on a blech, without a blech? And there's a gigantic machlokas there. And there's the opinion of the Rush says that, you know why we're lenient in this machlokas? Because B'nai Yisrael adukim, that means we cleave, the mitzvahs Oneg Shabbos. We love the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and therefore we're going to be lenient in that whatever machlokas about having cooked food on a blech, because we love the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So onion dip is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and therefore have your onion dip, do a shini, whatever shini you can, and you're fine. What's that? Guacamole is the next topic. I don't think I'm going to have time for... no time for guacamole. The reason why you're allowed to ask a guy for dude for you is because they're going to do something that's mutter. You're going to ask them to make the oatmeal and mix the oatmeal with a shinui. Yes. Tell them to mix it with a shinui. Do you have to tell them to mix it with a shinui? Since you could do it with a shinui, it's mutter even if you ask them to make it regularly. That's a question in Hilchos Amir Lanachri, I don't remember. Meaning, something that you could do in a permitted way. By doing shinui, and you ask a guy to do it, but they might do it in a prohibited way, that might be mutter even straight away. Like, I could get to the toilet, I could get to the eighth floor by my feet. Can I ask a guy to bring me, you know, something up to the eighth floor in the hotel room, and he's going to take the elevator? So that's a question of what you're doing directly. Since you could have done it, might be mutter. Okay, so we'll stop here for tonight. Thank you all for coming, and good chance we'll meet next week again. Be'ezus Hashem, keep posted.